The following message is brought to you by Capital City Baptist Church of Port Moresby. We exist to bring glory to God by knowing Christ and making Him known. If you would like to visit our church, we hold multiple services on Sunday mornings, starting at 9 a.m. We are located between Motuka Wharf and Edai Town. Pickups are available 709-1000.
Pastor said, open up your Bibles to John chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 1 to 3, and from there we'll go to 10 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Chapter 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, and even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of only the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Father, I do pray that your Word would be made clear this morning. Help us to see Jesus as a result of your Word being proclaimed. I pray that you would open your Word, fill our hearts with it, and then, Lord, would we magnify Jesus today. We ask these things in your beautiful name. Amen. We'll be in John chapter 1 this morning. I don't know if you enjoy the Christmas season. We are now into Christmas, in case you missed it. You can go down to the shops and everybody's got their Christmas trees up and ho, 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 and everybody's having a good time. I got to admit, I have always fallen on the other side of that. How many people love Christmas? You go, man, I just love Christmas. Play the songs. Anybody like that? Play the songs. All right. Okay. How many people have been like me and you're more like, bah humbug? I'm all by myself. Thanks, bud. I felt alone. Thank you. So I think perhaps it might be tied to the fact that everybody's celebrating somebody else's birthday. And in case you missed it, my birthday comes up 2 weeks from tomorrow, and that just happens to fall on Christmas Day. So if there is any bitterness within my heart, the Lord will forgive me for it. just remember, I love you, and you should love your pastor, and my birthday is 2 weeks from tomorrow, okay? This year, though, I've really gotten into Christmas. I caution to the wind, enough of the bah humbug stuff, 39 years of anger and all that stuff, just let it go. And this year, I downloaded a Christmas album, and I've loved it and soaked it up, and it just really enjoyed with the kids. And I think part of it, too, is the realization that this is our last year with my oldest daughter. And next year, she's going to be off to university and all those other things. And so I've just said, you know what, this year, let's soak it up. And so we spend time together, put up a tree and all that sort of thing. If you know my wife, she loves Christmas. There's a tree in almost every room in the house. I mean, you don't need one in the bathroom, but anyway, no, there's not one in the bathroom. But some rooms got two, unbelievable. She wanted to put two in here. She said, could we put up some Christmas trees in the church? I said, you're welcome to. You pay for it. The church doesn't have a budget for that. She just loves Christmas. And this year I've just kind of joined in with it. But I do know that for some people, Christmas is a tough time of the year. Perhaps you have lost a loved one this year or in recent years. Christmas, the holidays, a reminder that they're not around. And can I give you a word of encouragement? This, as your pastor, can I give you a word of encouragement? Sin came into the world, and by sin, death passed upon all men. But because of Christmas, because God sent His Son, life now passes unto all men. And so perhaps if you're missing somebody this year, can I encourage you this year, know that that's not eternal. And there is coming a day when we will be raised again into new life, everlasting with Jesus Christ. And that's because God sent His Son. And so that goes directly to our text, which is going to be the text for all 3 weeks of our Christmas series, John 1, verse 14, which says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so we're going to take 3 weeks. This week, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Next week, if you notice, in the middle of verse 14, there's a parenthesis. And that parenthesis, "And we beheld His glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father." Could you imagine, just a glimpse of next week, could you imagine getting to see God's glory displayed in Jesus Christ as they walked with Him? And then the closing part of that, "He was full of grace and truth." And I want to tell you this morning, there is absolutely nobody ever in the history of mankind that has been full of grace and truth. Only Jesus can do that. People usually fall on either I'm a grace guy or I'm a truth guy. And they have a hard time putting those two together. And Jesus is full of grace and truth. Absolutely impossible for you and I as human beings to do. And we'll talk about that in coming weeks. Today's portion, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And I just want to kind of walk through those three. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Last Christmas, we focused in on the humanity of Christ. If you were with us last Christmas, we talked about the humanity of Christ. We talked about that from the book of Matthew and Luke, where they went to Bethlehem. And in Bethlehem was the baby Jesus. And you'll remember where Mary had to come on a donkey from Nazareth, and she's great with child, and she comes and has the baby, and there's no room in the inn. And we talked about all of that last year. This year, we're going to focus in John's version of this. So we have Matthew and Luke, both of them, talked about the humanity. They talked about Jesus being born in a manger. The book of Mark does not talk about the birth of Christ at all. Starts off, Mark chapter 1 starts off, Jesus getting baptized. 30 years old, the beginning of his ministry, does not talk about childhood at all. And then John talks about the birth of Christ, but he talks about it not from a human standpoint, but from a divine standpoint. So we might say the others talked about his humanity. John's talking about his deity. From, if we might say it, let's strip away, take away the mankind side of things. Let's take away the hillside and the angels and the shepherds. Take that away, and what do you have left? You have God sending His Son to take away the sin of the world. And we get that in the opening chapter of the book of John. It's the divine portion where God became flesh, sent His Son, and dwelt among us. And we're going to see that this morning. Let's look at the verse again, John chapter 1, verse 14. Read it with me. "The Word was made flesh and," what? "Dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So let's hone in on that first part there, the Word, the Word. And I see this phrase, or this word, is used several times in John chapter 1. In fact, slide back up to verse number 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And then we come into verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh." And so we have an idea here that we need to grasp, get a hold of, and understand right from the beginning that God had the Word at the beginning. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God. Now, we know that the Word is Jesus. And you say, how do you know that? Okay, look at verse 14, and I want you to compare 14 with 17. Look at 14. "The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father." Very important phrase. "Full of grace and truth." Talking about the Word. Now look at verse 17. "The law was given by Moses, but," ready? "Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So right here within chapter 1, we have an identification of who is the Word. Verse 14, "The Word was full of grace and truth." Then verse 17, grace and truth, that was Jesus Christ. So we know that this is Jesus, but from verses 1 to 3, we get to find out very clearly that the Word was in the beginning, He was with God, and He was God. As we look through the Old Testament, we see, what in the world, why would we call Him the Word? See, we did not see in the Old Testament, we don't see Jesus, but He's there. He's there. So let me read you some verses from Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter 1 in verses 1 to 3. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. Now, if you remember John chapter 1, what did it say? The Word in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And now we look at Genesis chapter 1, the beginning, same place where John's starting. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and He said. When you say, you speak what? Words. In the beginning was the Word. The Word, Jesus Christ, in God Himself speaking. This is the very agent of creation, is Jesus Christ. When God said, let there be light, it was Jesus Christ who made the light. You say, I don't understand that. Let me give you a couple more of them. From Genesis chapter 1, verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. You see that? God's speaking. Verse 9. God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered. And all through chapter 1 we see, and God said, and God said, and God said. He does it 10 times in chapter 1. It says God's speaking, and as He speaks, the very Word that He speaks is Jesus Christ, and Jesus created all things. I'll give you some more verses to help with this. Hebrews chapter 1, if you're in the youth group, you would have been paying attention or hearing these verses. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Simple way of saying that is this. God, in the past, has spoken to us through the prophets. It's a simple way to say it. In diverse manners and in sundry ways. God spoke to us by the prophets, but in these last days, He's spoken unto us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things. Here's the important point. By whom also He made the worlds. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And how did He do it? With Jesus Christ. Jesus was not yet born yet, but in the form of Word, He created. So I still don't understand. Oh, good. Here, I'll give you another one. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 16. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. This is Jesus Himself. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. They're all held together by Jesus Christ Himself. He created all things. Now you guys help me. When it says that He created all things, how many things are included in all things? All. Right? We're having a class time setting, right? Okay. We'll get to the fun part in a minute. All right. So just when we talk about all things is all things. Now, if you've still got John chapter 1 with you, hopefully you're there. John chapter 1, look at verse 3. Look at verse 3 with me. John chapter 1, verse number 3. All things were made by Him. Who are we talking about? Jesus. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So He just said the same thing two times. He said it in two different ways, but it's the same thing. First part of the phrase, all things were made by Him. Again, class. All right, so we have class time here, okay? Class. How many things are included in all things? All. And who's doing the creating? Jesus. Jesus created all things. Good. You're catching on. This is awesome. Then He goes, in case you didn't catch it the first time, He's going to say it a second time, and He's going to say it a little bit different. The last part of verse 3, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So just in case you missed all things, and you thought that there might be something that He didn't make, He goes, it doesn't exist. Now, there are some, guys, there are some who would say God created Jesus and then Jesus created everything. That's a major doctrine of some churches. I got to tell you, God did not create Jesus. It's impossible. Let me read you verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. If God created Jesus, then verse 3 is false, because there was not a single thing that was made that was not made by Jesus. So Jesus made all things. It's impossible for Him to make Himself. He is always there. In the beginning, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Please don't be mistaken and think that God decided He was going to send Jesus to the earth, and then, I'm going to use a big word so that it goes right over the top of the little ones' heads, okay? Then God perhaps procreated Jesus with Mary. False. False. Jesus was with God. Jesus the Son was with God the Father before anything was ever made. You see, Jesus created all things, and He created them out of nothing. We call that ex nihilo, out of nothing. But here's the really cool thing. In order for Him to have nothing to create from, He had to create the nothing. That'll blow your mind. So Jesus created nothing so He could have nothing to create from. You follow me? I'll say it one more time, and then you can write it down and think about it later. Jesus created the nothing so He could have nothing to create from. There was nothing there, and He created nothing so that He could have nothing to create from. And a pretty cool idea along those lines, if you can create from nothing, there's a whole lot of nothing out there. You'll never exhaust that one. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but if you're a builder, you're a carpenter, you are limited to the stuff that you can build with, right? You have to use wood or steel. And when you run out at the work site, you have to go back to the hardware store. But the hardware store, too, has to go back to somebody else. And at some point, those trees will run out, right? But not God. When He creates from nothing, He just creates. And He's got plenty of nothing that He can go back to and pull from. And if He ever runs out of nothing, we already established He's good at creating nothing so He can have nothing to build from. That's an amazing God. Let me give you some further idea for the Old Testament, for the people that were receiving this, having an Old Testament mind. In the beginning was the Word. The Word created, but the Word also revealed God's character all throughout the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there's a phrase, this is the phrase, and the Lord said, and the Lord said. That phrase shows up 261 times in the Old Testament. That phrase is God revealing His own character to the prophets, and the Lord said, and He would tell about Himself to the prophets. And then the prophets would take those words and reveal them to the people. Here's one from Psalm 33 that I believe really helps us with how does God establish His character through His Word and at the same time create with His Word. Psalm 33, verses 4 to 9. For the Word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the Word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Verse 7, He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the depth of storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For, you ready? Here it is. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. See, this is the power that God has within His Word as He creates, and then through His Word, He reveals His character, and He tells us about Himself. But I want to encourage you this morning, because God did not simply just create and step away. He did not just simply create and then step away. There are so many people that believe that God did create, but then He left us to ourselves. And that's not the way God works. In fact, right now there is a trend. There's a trend of people that are moving away from evolution. And if you're a believer today, we should say amen to that. 1848. Before that, there was no such thing as evolution. And in 1848, it was introduced by a guy named Charles Darwin. It was something he made up in his head. wrote it down, and people embraced it. Do you know why people embraced it? Because they did not want to admit that there was a God. And so they turned away from God. They said, look how enlightened we are, and they followed hard after evolution. And in recent days, within the last few years, there's been a massive shift away from evolution, which is a great thing. There's a shift away from evolution as scientists begin to say things like it's impossible that that has could be true because there's not enough time. There's too many things that have to happen. It's impossible. And so what they've done is they've moved away from evolution and they're moving towards what's called intelligent design. It's the ID movement. I'll let you look it up later. A lot by the droves, scientists are moving from evolution to intelligent design. But here's my problem. Intelligent design is one step away from where they need to be. It's a far cry from where they were with atheism. But it comes in over to this side, and here's what intelligent design says. It says, there must be a creator out there. Certainly, God made all of this. And what they say is, He made it, and then He stepped away, and He let it go on. And friend, I want to tell you, yes, there is a God, and yes, He did design, and there's all types of intelligence, and God's fingerprints are all over this creation. We know that. But friend, I want to encourage you this morning, the Word became flesh. He came and He dwelt among us. He did not just create and leave it. He created, and then He said, I want relationship. I want you to worship me, and I want you to be right with me. And if you're not, eternity is way too long for you to be suffering. I want you to be right with me. And so God sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins so that He could bring us into the right relationship with Him. And so we see this. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. This is in our passage today. I don't know if you've ever thought about what it means for the Word to become flesh. Have you ever thought about what it takes as God to be a man? I mean, this is one of those things that you just begin to wonder. Take, for example, when God became flesh, when Jesus came into the womb of Mary, Mary carried Him in her stomach for 9 months. I mean, you think about this? That's mind-boggling, because that's God in her stomach. This is before He's born. This is long before Christmas. This is Mary carrying Jesus, the Creator, the very one who made her. She's carrying Him in her womb. Now, just help me think here for just a minute. I wonder, have you ever thought what it would be like to know what you know now and be in the womb of your mother? Now, obviously, your mom would have to be huge, right? There's no way I'd fit. But let's just say, if I knew what I knew now and I was in my mother's womb, it's a good thing. This, what do they say? Ignorance is bliss, right? And so if there's a baby that has not yet been exposed to the world, does not know what the sounds are, there's a baby inside a mother's womb, and that baby hears things but doesn't know what it is. Mom eats weird foods, and the kid goes, and kicks you. You know what I'm talking about. But that baby doesn't understand, doesn't know what those things are. But could you imagine with your knowledge, what you know, if you were in the womb, and you began to hear some noises, and you, wait a minute, Mom, that's a really bad idea. Listen, no, Mom, don't go down that way. No, this is bad. And my goodness, Mom, would you quit eating that stuff? Ah, that's nasty. You following me here? Now, that's with you and your limited knowledge. Now, could you imagine being God Almighty and submitting yourself to 9 months of being within the womb? As He does not steer her and tell her what to do, He submits Himself entirely to her care. Now, this is a fascinating idea. And then as He's born into Bethlehem, and all of the things that God put into place so that Mary and Joseph would be at Bethlehem. I mean, great with child, you don't normally take a week-long journey when you're great with child. And yet God orchestrated all of the things that He did in order to make it to where she would end up at Bethlehem. Look, she did not go read in the Old Testament, come across Micah 5:2 and go, "Hey, fire up the donkey, Joe, let's go." No, it was Caesar Augustus made a decree and she went, "If we don't do it, we're going to get beat, so let's go." And they go down to Bethlehem. She has the baby in Bethlehem. Guys, I got to tell you, Bethlehem then and now, not a great place. Bethlehem to Jerusalem is, you ready? What the Biruni dump is to Port Moresby. The similarities are uncanny. They're both 9 kilometers away. From Bethlehem to the city central in Jerusalem is 9 kilometers. From the Biruni dump to CBD, 9 kilometers. It's unbelievable how close these... So many similarities. About 200 people. It's estimated there were about 200 people that lived in Bethlehem at that time. We go, why in the world would God choose that? That's where David was born. 1,000 years before Jesus. That's where David was born. And God had a blessing to David and He said, it's your town is the place where this Messiah will be born. And if you remember from Micah 5:2, this is the prophecy. O Bethlehem Ephrata, O thou of the smallest, you will be great. And we think of, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. And we get a picture of, it was cold all around, and the little donkey's got his head looking over, and he's got a smile on his face. And that is so far from the truth. It was not a silent night. It was very cold. And donkeys don't smile. They're very nasty animals. And there, on the outskirts of Jerusalem, in a little town that people really don't care about, is Mary having a baby. You come to modern day, I'm going to tell you, Bethlehem, modern day, is not a place you want to hang out. 1999, my wife and I had the privilege of going to Israel, and we visited Bethlehem. The day before we went to Bethlehem, we came into Jerusalem. We'd been down at the Dead Sea, coming up the mountain. We drove up the mountain all day long. We were in a tour bus. You've seen these big tour buses, and we had a tour guide. He was a Muslim guy, and all of us were Christians, and there were times when I was wondering if that was a good idea. But anyway, we got this guide, and we pull up in front of a hotel there in Jerusalem. We get out, and as we're getting out, we're getting our bags, and we're getting ready to go into the hotel rooms. And as we come out, and we're standing on the front veranda, the guide stops us, and he goes, "Okay, so all of you, this is your first time to Jerusalem." "Yes, of course." He goes, "Look right across the hillside there. That is Bethlehem." And we look across, and I got to tell you, it was amazing. It was one of those "ah" moments. As we looked across, it's dark out, and there's little white lights from the city of Bethlehem. And we all looked at, "Oh, wow, that's so beautiful." He said, "Yeah, we're going to go there tomorrow." He said, "Enjoy the scene right now, because tomorrow it's going to spoil it." He said, "Right now, that's as pretty as it gets. When we get there, you'll understand why." And we went, and I got to tell you, Bethlehem, it's not a place you want to hang out. There were two things that we went and saw. One was the church, where they built a church over the spot where they think that Jesus was born. And I'll emphasize they think, because they marked that spot a few hundred years after the birth of Christ, and then ever since then they said, okay, this is the spot. So I don't know if it really is the spot or not. If somebody's born and then you wait a couple hundred years, nobody remembers. But they said, that is the spot where Jesus is born. So we went there. There's a church, massive church built over it. You got to go down in the basement to see the spot. And we went down there. Oh, there it is. Wow. Okay. Now we walk back out. When you come back out, you can go right around the corner, and there's a little shop there, and there's a guy that sells olive wood carvings. He's selling them to Christians. It's Christian tourism. That's the two spots. Literally, you take your vehicle into the church, you go inside, you come back out, you see the little olive wood guy, you get back in the bus, and you leave. Do not, and they said it over and over, do not get off the beaten path, because if you go off the side, terrorists will shoot you. Bethlehem. And we always think of it as such a great place. And God sent His Son, submit Himself to a place that's not really cared about. An unknown place. And here's Jesus being born. I don't know if you've ever thought about what it meant for God to become flesh. But He became flesh for a purpose. There was a reason that He became flesh. And that was so that He could die. You see, God in His deity cannot die. He cannot give Himself a ransom for many. He has to become a man so that He can give His life. And he did lay down his life. And I think of Philippians chapter 2. Let me put the verse up for you. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, the Word became flesh so that he could give life to dead men. That is the greatest gift you could ever ask for. As Jesus gave his life, I can only just imagine what Isaiah said, Jesus leaving from the thrones of glory, Isaiah 6, where Isaiah makes this statement. He said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I lifted up my eyes and I saw God. I saw him in his heavenly throne, and it said his train filled the temple, his robes filled the heavenly temple, and there were seraphim." It says there were seraphim. They had six wings. With two they covered their eyes, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they did fly around. And day after day after day they sang, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And he said, Isaiah himself said, "I cannot even stand before him. I have to get down on my face before him." He said, "Woe is me, I'm an unclean man." And Jesus Christ left that to come to Bethlehem and walk the hard road all the way to Calvary and give his life as a ransom for you and I. He became a man so that he could die. That is the gospel. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I don't know if you've ever thought about what he means by dwelt among us. Because I think if we're not careful, we'll just read that passage. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it almost be like he dwelt among us as in, yeah, he was a man and we are men and he dwelt among us as men. And if we're not careful, we'll kind of treat it like it's some sort of a fairy tale or it's a Tamuna story. Think about this from John's perspective. John's the one that wrote the book, right? So John wrote the book. He's John the Beloved. John is first cousins to Jesus. First cousin. So you remember John and James, the sons of thunder? They were sons of Zebedee. Zebedee was their dad. Salome was their mom. Salome is Mary's sister. John and Jesus are first cousins. And John makes this statement, the Word, God, became flesh, and he dwelt among us. And I walked with him. He was my first cousin. We went and pulled rubber gun together. We had a good time playing out in the yard. We caught fish together. We did all sorts of stuff. We had a good life. We enjoyed time together. But I got to tell you, when he started his ministry, I jumped in right behind him. I'm his disciple. I love him, and he loves me. And I'm going to follow him. And my brother James, within a few years after Jesus ascended, my brother James gave his own head to Herod, died, martyred. And me too, I'm going to go as far as I can for him. John lives through a martyrdom attempt, and by the time he writes this book, he's almost 90 years old. This is John going, the Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. I watched him move and he had his being among us. It's just personal for him. Jesus does care for us. Is it any wonder that Isaiah would call him Emmanuel, God with us? This is Emmanuel. As we move towards a conclusion, let me draw your attention back at verse 10. Look at verse number 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world, this is the world that he created. The very hands that he created were the ones that smote him. The very mouth that he made was the one that spit upon him. And they did not receive him. But then, there's so much hope in verses 12 and 13. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. I love that. He just said, even though his own would not receive him, if you receive him? You go, well, how do I receive him? He explains it. Look in verse 12. As many as receive him, to them gave he power to be the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How do I receive him? I believe on him. That's how I receive him. If I believe on him, he will make me a son of God. And then in verse 13, he helps us to understand what kind of a son that is. Verse 13, which were born not of blood. I'm not a blood relative. I wasn't born into that family. Not of the will of man, but of the will of God. And I love that because I think it's pretty awesome to be born into a family. How many people are pretty happy about the family you were born into? Oh, I'm thrilled about the family I was born into. But I know that there are some people that are not thrilled about the family they were born into. You don't have to raise your hand if you're there. But you know what's better than being born into a family? Being adopted into a family. Because you're born in, mom and dad didn't have any choice. That's got to raise you. It's okay. But if you're adopted in, you know what that means? You got chosen. Now that's pretty awesome. And guys, so many times we look at adoption, especially as a child. A child goes, no, I was adopted. That's terrible. I was abandoned. No. Wait. So much better. Because the family that has taken you in has chosen to take you in. They didn't have to. They didn't go, oops, now we got another one. No, they went, we want that one. And bring you in. And here is a beautiful thing about being adopted. I'm adopted by Him. All I had to do was believe, and He received me, and He took me out as His own. The Word became flesh. And if all I have to do is receive Him, He takes me to Himself, and He allows me to be a part of His family. He wants me, and He has adopted me. Let me give you a verse, a thought in closing. In the end of the book of John, John's written this entire book, and all throughout this book, he's been making a point. And that point is, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But let me share with you one of the closing verses from the book of John. He says in John chapter 20, verse 21, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing you might have life through His name. These are written. What's written? The entire book. And so we're at the beginning of it, and he's at the end of it. And he goes, hey, have a look all the way back through this. These are written, all of this is written, that you might believe. What happens if I believe? He receives me. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and he's the Son of God. And that believing, you might have life through his name. Now, you're already there in chapter 1. I want you to see verse 4. Because he says it at the beginning and he says it at the end. Look at chapter 1 and verse number 4 and we'll be done. We've already seen all things were made by him. Now verse 4. In him was life. And life was the light of men. Friend, this morning I want you to understand this. Jesus Christ became flesh. He could have spent eternity and just let us go on and on to hell. But instead, he chose to become a man so he could give his life. And that life gives light to you and I. That says us as men, the following verses, and we're going to see this in the coming weeks, that light often gets rejected by men. But here's the hope. If you believe in him, he will receive you as his son. Next week we'll see the next part of the verse. Beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father. I look forward to that. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the love that you've spread abroad in our hearts. Lord, may we encourage one another with the knowledge that Jesus Christ left the throne of glory, left all of the wonderful robes and the glory of the seraphims calling out holy to become a man so that he might die. This too is the gospel. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your grace, the grace that you've extended to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Pastor Matt Allen of Capital City Baptist Church of Port Moresby. We would love to have you join us for service if you are in the area. If you need help with transportation, please give us a call on 709-1000. Again, it's 709-1000.